All right, let's have a Bible study. How many of you know that you're going to have battles? You're just going to have battles. Jesus said, in this world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. God has only one attitude toward the difficulties that we encounter. He intends that we win. He's made that clear to us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. You know, there's another translation that puts the same scripture this way. It says, but thanks be to God who invariably leads us on triumphantly in Christ and evidences through us in every place the fragrance that results from knowing him. So we are to win and to bring glory to God by winning. And they will know that we know our God. You know, I've seen some misguided people that for whatever reason they've been taught, you know, maybe they've gotten a sickness or gotten a disease or they're in a wheelchair or something, and they say, well, this brings glory to God. Well, no. I mean, no. No, it doesn't. God wants us to win our battles. Now, he doesn't look down on anybody that has a sickness or has a, you know, some kind of a thing that keeps them crippled or in a wheelchair or whatever. He doesn't look down on people in that position. But that is not what brings glory to God. What brings glory to God is when people get up out of wheelchairs, when they throw crutches away, when they turn away from modern medicine and live. That brings glory to God. You look in the book of Acts and you'll see there was a lot of people that had a lot of different ailments. You know, there were blind people, there were deaf people, there were mute people, there were lame people. And when somebody got healed, all of a sudden there was a lot of attention drawn to that. There was a lot of people. And a lot of times it talks about how they glorified God. That healing and miracles bring glory to God. So I want to share with you several steps that will help you win your battle. You might not need them right now, but keep track of them because you will need them. You may say, oh, I'll never have a battle. But, you know, that's contrary to the Word of God. Matter of fact, Psalms chapter 34, verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. It's a Bible promise we're going to have battles. We're going to have them. At some point, we're going to have to face something in our life and fight it with the Word of God. So the first thing we need to understand, the moment that we're faced with a personal battle, at the very onset, we need to do this. We need to recognize that our enemy is not flesh and blood. We're in spiritual warfare, and that our enemy is Satan. And that he is a defeated foe. He works in the physical realm and the five natural senses. Taste, touch, smell, hear, and see. Do not begin to fight in the flesh. Begin to take your spiritual authority over the situation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, it says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, when we get this attack, when we get attacked, we need to, number one, understand who's doing the attacking. People get confused about this all the time. Remember, in John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So if it's stealing, killing, and destroying, if it's something that's going to steal your finances, steal your health, destroy your health, destroy whatever, know that it's the thief. It's Satan. Unfortunately, a lot of people blame God. You know, they'll be going along and all of a sudden they'll get attacked and they say, oh my God, I didn't go to church last Sunday and God got me fired from my job. I actually had a guy tell me one time, he was walking around with a limp, and he said God gave him a stroke to make him be a preacher. I thought, jeez, God took the blame for that. He didn't have anything to do with that. He might have wanted the guy to be a preacher, but God is not going to maim his people to get them to do something. We got to understand this. God gives good things. In him, there's no darkness. He is 100% light. He is absolutely void of darkness. So if he's going to give you a sickness, where is he going to get it at? There's no sickness in heaven. If he's going to give you part of the curse, where is he going to get it at? It's not him. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus had to clarify that. See, God had been taking the blame for a lot of stuff for a long time, and Jesus finally got here and cleared the table. He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you can have life and that you can have it more abundantly. See, that's God's will for you to have life and have it more abundantly. We can't be confused about this. Unfortunately, there's too many people that are. And there's too many preachers that pander to that. Somebody's little baby will die, and they'll say, well, God needed another angel in heaven. You're not going to be an angel when you leave here. Do you know that? You're not going to be an angel. That just irritates me when people lie about God to make somebody else feel better. You can tell the truth and people will feel better. The second step that we need to get is determine that we're going to walk through our battle victoriously by faith, not by sight. We're going to rely upon the Word of God, and that the Word is your final authority. It is all you need. It will convey you safely through to victory. You know, we studied this here a little bit ago, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And then in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, it tells us we're casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So now, this is where Walking by faith, not by sight. This is where our faith walk, this is where the rubber is really going to meet the road. We're going to have faith in our inner being, in our heart. And everything around us may be complete chaos. You know, we may be getting bombarded by information that just is absolutely contrary to the Word of God. Some of it is even blasphemous. But we're going to have all of these thoughts coming. And I don't know if you ever noticed that the devil, he really gets the crazy train in high speed. You know, when something happens, you know, something over here will happen with your finances, something over here will happen with your health, you know, and it's like all of a sudden he just throws all the coal on the engine and he just puts it in full bore. And then you get all these thoughts. But the Bible tells us to cast those thoughts down. We're only to rely on the Word of God. And if we'll just keep taking the next step and keep believing God, that stuff's going to clear out. You know, I remember one time, I got paid, and this lady paid me through PayPal, and all of the bills were going to come out of that, and payroll and everything was going to come out of that. Well, PayPal blocked my account. They said, you're not going to be allowed to use PayPal ever again. And so I said, okay, well, there's my payroll. And then he did something else with something else, and I had another transfer, and that got all messed up. And it was like they sent it to the wrong bank even. Not only did they not send it to my account, they sent it to the wrong bank. And I thought, okay. And he had the crazy train revved up in high gear. And all I could do is just keep walking through it. And then pretty soon, it was just like all of that was gone. It was all lined out. But just had to keep walking and keep going and keep doing. And it finally resolved. You're going to have battles. How you look at these is going to make a definition on how your life turns out. I read a book one time, How You Behave in a Cave is going to determine how your life turns out. You know, we can learn a lot from David. See, David was anointed to be the king of Israel. And he knew it. The prophet poured a horn of oil over him. He was handpicked by God to be the king of Israel. And he was living in caves where the old king of Israel was trying to kill him every time he seen him. But David behaved honorably and justly, and he didn't lay a hand on that king because he was in a covenant with him. And it all worked out. He ended up being the king of Israel. Amen? So you're going to have battles. And here's the thing. You got to go through them one way or the other. You can go through them victoriously, or you can spend 40 years walking around in the wilderness trying to figure it out. And one thing I've noticed is you can curl up and play possum and hope the devil goes away. He's just going to camp out. He ain't going nowhere until you make him go somewhere. But you have to do it. The third step, we need to get alone with God and ask him to give us a promise or promises to stand on in our situation. You know, we're going to need a fresh word from God. One promise from His Word spoken to you about your particular situation by the Holy Spirit will take you farther than anything you can think of on your own devices. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you don't even know." You know, we've been taught that the Holy Spirit will bring all things to remembrance. So if we get in the Word of God and at least read that thing one time like a novel, He can remind us of something in the Word. You know, maybe we get into a situation and we're really, really struggling and really trying to figure out the answer, really trying to figure out how we're going to make it, how things are going to happen. And we ask God, show us the way, and He'll impress upon you a verse. Go look at that verse. Make that verse your rock. Make that verse your chant. Walk around saying that verse, meditating on that verse. I remember I was getting ready to leave home, and I had a lot of questions. I really didn't know how I was going to make it. And I had a lot of questions because I was going into a distant land. I was just doing things that were completely out of ordinary for me. And He impressed upon me a verse. He said, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, thus saith the Lord." And that's a verse that I'm still learning. 20 years later, I'm still learning that verse. But I learn more and more about it all the time. How Holy Spirit does things through us that we can't possibly do on our own. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So that's, you know, the Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith, and we're the just. Once you get born again, you're the just. So it tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we're going to have to spend some time looking at the answer. You know, we have a habit of looking at the problem. You know, the devil wants us to look at the problem that he caused. He wants us to focus on the problem. That's not going to fix anything. What will fix it is when we focus on the answer. When we focus on the answer, we have to look unto God. We have to look unto Jesus. One really neat story in the Bible was when the children of Israel, they were walking around out there in the wilderness, and they got in trouble and they got bit by serpents. And God told Moses to make a bronze statue of that serpent and to put it on a pole and raise it up in the air. And the people that will look under that pole will live. The ones that didn't look under that pole died. Well, that sounds like a cool story, but we have to understand some things about that situation. Bronze is significant of sin in the Bible. No, those serpents bit them people. But when they seen that bronze serpent raised up on a pole, they seen their sickness on that pole. We see Jesus, when we look unto Him, that's what they were seeing. They seen their sickness judged on that pole, and then they got healed. You know, when we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we get healed. We get delivered. We get set free. We get prospered. One of the biggest things, one of the best things that we can do to get our focus on Jesus is to get our focus on the Word. And when you walk around meditating on the Word, you're hearing the Word, you say it out loud, you hear it. And tapes are really good, but I've noticed that people have a habit, you know, once they listen to a series of tapes, they go on to the next series. What would happen if you just sat there and listened to those tapes until you wore them out? Listen to them over and 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 over again. Well, that word is going to get in your heart. And it's going to stay there. You know, I remember I got my hands on some Kenneth Hagin CDs. And I thought, and there was only two of them. I thought, this is my answer. And I listen to those things over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And Miss Ann heard me preach one time and said, "You sound just like Kenneth Hagin." I thought, "Oh my God, I don't talk like that, do I?" And she said, "No, but you preach like that." And I thought, "Well, that's okay. That's all I listen to. I just listen to him over and over and over and over again instead of these notes." And faith started happening in my heart. But that's what happens when you listen to something repetitively. You hear it over and over and over and over again. I'll tell you something about the devil. He's going to throw the problem at you over and over and over and over and over again. He's going to remind you how you're sick over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. He's going to remind you how you don't have enough money to pay the bills at the end of the month. He's going to tell you that over and over and over and over and over again. Why? Because he's hoping that you'll go ahead and believe it. But we have to cast those down. We have the shield of faith. We quench those fiery darts. But we have to get our mouth in gear. I don't know if you've ever noticed you're going to talk. You're going to say something. You're going to say something. You all talk to yourself at some point. You may get busy and you're just driving and you find out you're having a conversation with yourself. Why don't we just make it a conversation with God, or take his word and start repeating that instead of what's going through here. Keith Jarrett, I hang on to this. He had some really great words every once in a while. He said, "I've been through some terrible things, most of them which never happened." You know, we get attacked in our minds. But if we keep it in the arena of faith, most of that stuff doesn't even happen. Have you ever noticed that? Almost nothing that you dreamed up in your head works out the way you thought it would. It always ends up being different, doesn't it? Why? Because the devil, he's trying to cause havoc in your life, and he wants you to quit whatever it is you're doing, or he wants you to get mad and go cause a little more turmoil, when God just says, "Let me be God in your life. Believe in me." He has a way of working things out that we'll never, ever, ever get to that level on our own. But if we'll let him do that for us, it really, really works well. And then we have to just sit there and ponder. But it's by his grace. We'll understand grace. when we let Him be our good shepherd and let Him lead us through these battles, then we'll understand grace. We can frustrate grace. You know, we can get our hand in it, and we can cause more chaos. It might even fix it, kind of. It won't be near as good as God fixing it. But it's when we meditate on His Word for any particular situation that we may be in, we won't have to struggle to convince ourselves of the Scripture. Faith will come. You know, this thing might be going 500 miles an hour, but when we meditate on His Word and get it in our heart, He'll make this thing stop. But we got to get in that Word. The Word is our salvation. It's in Him. It's in Christ. Christ is the Word. Did you know that? In the beginning was the Word. Word was God. Word was with God. And Word became flesh. We beheld and called Him name Jesus. He is the Word. And if you're wondering what Jesus looks like, open your Bible. And you'll find grace and truth. That's what Jesus looks like. The fourth thing we need to understand is we've got to put on spiritual blinders. When we take our place on the promises or the promise of God that He's given you, the enemy will attempt to present lying symptoms and signs to you, but you will refuse to waver or to step off of that Word. So look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, because this is pretty important. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things which are seen are temporal. They're subject to change. But the things which are not seen with our physical eyes, we're looking at it with our eye of faith, are eternal. What we see through the eye of faith is not subject to change. The situation must conform to the Word of God as we are believing and quoting and acting upon it. This is, you know, when we talked about Peter walking on the water, and as long as he was looking at Jesus, he was staying on top of the water. But when he started looking at the wind and the waves, he started sinking. We're in the same spot. When we got a challenge that we have to walk through by faith, we're going to have to focus on the Word of God. We can't waste our time looking at the wind and the waves. Wind and waves are just problems. They're circumstances. When, you know, say you got a financial goal that you need to meet at the end of the month. And you're walking on faith. You got a scripture you're believing in. And then somebody says, well, you know, it's supposed to rain for 2 weeks. Nobody's going to be working. That's wind. That's wind. Because the first thing that will probably come to your mind is, how am I going to make it? That's a wave. You got to cast that thought down in the name of Jesus. Maybe you're fighting a sickness. And you're walking through it by faith. And then somebody comes up and says, oh, you know, my sister-in-law's best friend had a cousin that knew somebody on the West Coast that had that, and it didn't go well for him. That's a wave. That's a wave. You're not to be looking at that. You're to look at the Word of God. All these distractions that we have, you know, it's easy to get into a spot where you can focus on the Word of God and focus on her promise and look at it. But when you leave your quiet place or you leave the church, you get out of your little atmosphere of faith and you get out there in the world, then all of a sudden there's all these distractions. I don't know if you've noticed there's a lot of distractions in this world. But there's a lot of things that catch our attention. All these different things that can catch our attention are designed to get our eyes off of the Word of God. Now, they may be good things. Don't get me wrong. They may be some fun things. They may be even some righteous things. They may be some good things. But if it gets our eyes off of the Word of God, gets our eyes off of the focus that we need, then we're looking at wind and waves. See, a funny thing about distractions is the devil knows that if he can keep you distracted, you're not going to be able to focus on the word of faith. And it's interesting. You look at a lion tamer, and this lion tamer, just as he is, and that lion comes in that cage, that lion could just eat him for lunch. But he has a whip and a stool. And this stool has four legs, and then this whip is a fifth. They're different things for this lion to focus on. So this lion tamer keeps this stool and this whip going, and this lion is so focused on all these different things till he doesn't eat the lion tamer. I think the devil learned something about that. Because we come from the tribe of Judah, don't we? The lion of the tribe of Judah. And he knows that if he can keep you distracted, you're not going to be as effective at battling him as you would be as if you were focused. One of the things we do need to watch out for is all these different distractions. They may be good things, they may be honorable things, but a distraction is a distraction. And when you need to focus on the Word of God, you need to shut that stuff out. It may take a little bit of time, a little bit of patience, and a little bit of practice, but when we do that, we win. Now, I've noticed when somebody really gets serious about the Word of faith and really sinks their feet in the sand and says they are taken no more, it doesn't seem like the battle lasts very long. The battle will last a lot longer when we lose our focus or let our attention drift off. You know, look, focus on the wind and waves for a while and then come back to the Word of God. We'll win, it just take us a little longer. That's all I got tonight. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything that you do for us as our high priest, our Lord Jesus, standing at the right hand of God, praying for us, making intercession for us, causing us to be in the right place at the right time so that right things can happen to us. Father, we thank you for Holy Spirit, who is always here to teach us and guide us and comfort us and show us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. Father, we thank you for the many, many blessings that you bestowed upon us. We ask you in the name of Jesus to show us somebody who we can share Jesus with and get them born again. In Jesus' name, amen.